it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Our phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-LEGAL-MJ. Or you can do it the number style, 650-534-2565. That's a 24-hour number, by the way. You can call 650-534-2565 24 hours a day because we have a voicemail there. And every now and then we get a voicemail that we will play back on the show. It's always good to hear from folks out there. We love our fans. And I think we actually have some voicemails that since I was gone for a while that maybe we can get to. I'll check the voicemail inbox at 650-LEGAL-MJ, see what we got. Let's see. Oh, here we have one. Let's hear from this one. Got the volume turned up? Yes, let's go.
Aloha, Russ. This is High in Hawaii. I have a question for you. Somebody told me that legal cannabis and medical cannabis received more votes than Trump. Is that true? Or is somebody just feeding me a line? Also, what do you think about Jeff Sessions? Are we in trouble? I hope not. I hope you're back on the air again soon. Miss your show. Need my fix. Aloha, man, and take care of yourself.
Well, thank you very much. Love getting the calls from Hawaii. And to answer the questions, yes. Marijuana reform in all nine states that voted on it got more votes than Clinton or Trump did. Although they've been counting a lot of the late votes, I need to go back and update my figures because Clinton apparently has been getting more and more votes. So we'll check that out. But certainly, yes, legal marijuana or medical marijuana got more votes percentage-wise in the states than Trump did nationally. Now, if you compare it state by state, like what did Massachusetts vote on weed versus what did Massachusetts vote on Trump? Well, yeah, Trump lost big in Massachusetts. But if you went to North Dakota, I don't know. Did Trump get more votes in North Dakota than weed got in North Dakota? I haven't checked those numbers. But nationally speaking, Trump got like 47.2% of the vote. And Arizona's was the one that did the worst, and it got 48%. So, yeah, we got that taken care of. Now, the other question on this, Jeff Sessions, yes, yes, we're in trouble. Yes, Sessions, like I was, you know, my job is to think of nightmare scenarios, right? That's part of my gig is to try to think of what's the worst possible thing that could happen. And to me, the worst possible thing I could imagine was Attorney General Chris Christie. That was my nightmare. I was like, oh God, Chris Christie, he would be awful. And then he goes and appoints Sessions. I went, oh, shit, I didn't even think of Jeff Sessions. Holy shit, that's the worst possible guy we could have picked. Oh, my God. And the reason why He's worse than Christie because Christie's a little toady, right? Christie will do what he's told. And Christie's got a hate for marijuana, right? But it's just kind of like a law and order crime thing. He's just bigoted against the people that use marijuana, right? Sessions is an old school drug warrior who actually believes the bullshit about marijuana itself. He actually thinks the substance itself is evil, right? I kind of get to think that Christie doesn't necessarily think weed itself is evil, but just the way people use it, and he doesn't like the people that use it, right? So yeah, Sessions, we're in trouble because right now the only reason the marijuana commerce got off the ground was because of the Cole memo. Cole memo said, hey, federal prosecutors, back off. And so then people were emboldened to move forward and take risks. That Cole memo can be rescinded and probably will be very toward my birthday in late January. And with no Cole memo, then you've got, what is it, 93 U.S. attorneys, different U.S. attorneys out there, some number like that, who are now free to prosecute marijuana if they so choose. Now, keep in mind, we've had medical marijuana for a long time, and we got medical marijuana that's got, 80% support nationally. And we've got a president who was at least promising that we wouldn't use federal resources to go after medical marijuana, and yet we got prosecutions at the Kettle Falls Five. We got raids in Montana. We got raids in Colorado. We got raids all over the country. So are we in trouble with Sessions? Yeah, I think we are. It bums the hell out of me because I kept telling people, look, the game is two-party politics. One of two people will win. One of them might install some rational people who believe in science into the cabinet. The other one is going to appoint every kook and nut job possible, and it's not going to do us any favors. And speaking of kooks and nut jobs being appointed by Donald Trump, latest news just in, this in from the Associated Press, Ben Carson, Secretary of Housing, Urban and Development. Ben Carson, the guy who thought that the pyramids were a grain silo, Ben Carson. The guy who thinks that Jesus rode a dinosaur, Ben Carson. He's going to fix housing and urban development. He's going to take care of the homeless problem and the mortgage crises and all of that. Ben Carson. Oh, man, I shouldn't laugh, but oh, it's so scary. It's just so scary. Who's good? They're talking about Sarah Palin for Secretary of the Interior. Yeah. Drill, baby, drill in charge of our national parks. What do you think of that? Huh? That'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun. I wonder who Jill Stein would have appointed. Anyway, we got to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about this wonderful weed. Also, some more election news. There's starting to be allegations that the election was rigged. Remember Trump saying the election would be rigged? Maybe he was right. This isn't a tinfoil hat thing either. This might get some legs, folks. We'll talk about that when we come back. Plus, we'll take your calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world. We're just not sure about France. CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 12 minutes after 4 o'clock here in the Pacific Time Zone. We're live and direct from Delta 9 Studios here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. And interesting news coming across the desk here. In election news, there are activists now urging Hillary Clinton and her campaign to challenge the election results in three of the Rust Belt Brexit states. The interesting information coming here. Now, in other recount news, there's a recount going on in Maine. Up in the state of Maine, the opponents of marijuana legalization there have called for a recount. I believe the last number I saw was a 50.2% victory. And anytime an election's within a half a percent, I don't oppose a recount, right? Recounts are fine. And I got people that are tweeting about it that are saying, oh, they're wasting $500,000 of taxpayer money to do this recount. That's not a waste. Ensuring that our democracy is accurate, ensuring that our votes are counted, ensuring that the mechanisms haven't been tampered with, that's priceless. That's our democracy. You can't put a number on it. If that's what it costs, $500,000 to have a free and fair election, absolutely. Sure, let's do it. Now, the news from the Clinton camp is coming from the director of the University of Michigan's Center for Computer Security and Society. Actually, it's a group. There's a prominent computer scientists and election lawyers calling for recounts in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. The group has voting rights attorney John Bonifaz and J. Alex Halderman, who's the director of University of Michigan's Center for Computer Security and Society. So we're not talking about, you know, far fringe tinfoil hat people here. We're talking about some serious statisticians and election experts. They believe they've found persuasive evidence that the results in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania may have been hacked. Now, they're not speaking on the record yet, and they're lobbying in private. But here's what they say. There was a conference call last Thursday with Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta and the chief general counsel Mark Elias to make their case. And they presented findings that in Wisconsin, Hillary Clinton received 7% fewer votes in counties that relied on electronic voting machines compared with counties that use optical scanners and paper ballots. Based on this analysis, she was denied as many as 30,000 votes in Wisconsin, a state she lost by 27,000. Now, they're not saying they found proof of any hacking or of any manipulation, but statistically speaking, it's the kind of result that's damn near impossible to happen by random chance. So they're very, very much interested in having an independent review of this. Combined with the fact that the Obama White House believes the Russian government has been involved in hacking the Democrats. So how much harder would it be to hack a whole bunch of electronic machines in Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania? Now, the way we're at right now, Donald Trump has 290 electoral votes compared to Clinton's 232. They still haven't called Michigan yet. Michigan's too close to call. And all three of these states would have to go Hillary Clinton's way. Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes would have to flip. Pennsylvania's 20 votes would have to flip. And she'd have to win Michigan, which hasn't been decided yet. But if all three of those flipped, then Hillary Clinton would win the Electoral College. Keep in mind, while the election is over, the president hasn't been elected yet. We've had the presidential election, which counts our popular votes. Those popular votes are then used by the members of the Electoral College, the electors, who generally speaking vote the way their state told them to vote. And that happens later. That happens in December. That actual Electoral College vote that ratifies the election and makes it official hasn't happened yet. So if those states were audited and flipped, Hillary Clinton could very well become president. Now, is it going to happen politically? Probably not. I can't see, you know, Obama wants this to be a smooth transition. If she did win it through this, oh my God, as much as those Trump people hate Hillary Clinton now and think the election is rigged and we can't trust the elites, imagine if after the vote happens and Trump was declared winner, that it's then taken away from him. But there's another thing that's brewing too. Another thing that's brewing here is that we have a problem of faithless electors. Now, what that means is someone who's an electoral college voter, an elector, who betrays what their state voted for. And so far, there's at least six of these electors who have said they're not going to vote for Trump, even though their state voted for Trump. So those could help tip the election. And there's this concern, this continuing growing concern about Hillary Clinton having won the popular vote now by almost 2 million votes. And the fact that this would be the second election in just 16 years, the second out of five, where the popular vote winner doesn't win the Electoral College. And I would argue, turns out to be a terrible president. So are we on the verge of some sort of electoral college revolt, perhaps? Are we on the verge of these electors deciding to flip the results of an election? Is it possible that we're finally going to start paying attention to our voting machines, our voting our very democracy? I mean, we've been yelling about this for years, about the electronic voting machines and the hacking. This goes back to the George W. Bush, the 2000 election, the Diebold machines, right? The machines where you're the touchscreen and you press the touchscreen for Gore and it registers Bush, right? Those kind of things. This country needs to get real serious about making sure our elections are as free, fair, and transparent as possible. Paper ballots, auditable paper trail ballots, ranked choice voting, like Maine has just adopted, where you get to actually pick more than one person for an office. There's no spoiler effect. If you like Ralph Nader, you can vote for Ralph Nader because you can also vote for Al Gore. Or you like Jill Stein, you can vote for Jill Stein because you can also vote for Hillary Clinton. you like Gary Johnson, but you also liked Trump, you could vote for both of them. But we need paper trails. We need audits. We need transparency.
Silent Green is people!
I always told you to stay away from the Soylent Green. We're going to instead get back to the Cannabis Green. Because Cannabis Green is all right. It's 420 here in the Pacific Time Zone. We're going to take a break. Time for the safety meeting. Make sure you get safe too, and we'll be right back.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
NARML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 22 after the hour. Hope you're feeling nice and safe. So I had someone in the chat room was bringing up my tattoo. Some of you new listeners out there might not know that I have this back tattoo. And it's the United States, and it's every place I've ever been to do a marijuana event. And somebody out there wanted a copy of it, wanted to see what it looked like. I was actually on CBS 5, the news station down in Phoenix, Arizona. They did a story on this last year. And they filmed the tattoo even. So it's kind of that was kind of cool. So I'm trying to find where in my photos online I might have a copy of that. And I'm just looking through here during break. Last time I was in Dallas, I know I did some of that. So let's see if I can find where that might be. But we'll get that colored in. We might do it back in Texas, because I've got a layover on December 4th when I go to when I'm heading off to Jamaica. So I gotta have a layover in Dallas. It's like a 12-hour layover before I catch the next flight out to Montego Bay, Jamaica. So looks like I've got this from a 2016 photo album in February. Let me see if I can find the link, and I'll post this in the chat room. 2016 February. I'm trying to run this new Google Photos. I'm not used to it. So March, December, February. There it is. Okay. And lots of pictures online. You can find just about everything I do as Radical Russ on just about everything that has social media capabilities. If there's a name for it, I'm Radical Russ on it. And there we go. Southwest Cannabis Conference. Got to be in there somewhere. And where's the tattoo picture? Get this for our listeners in the chat room. And by the way, if you're listening on the podcast, you should try to join us live sometime. We're on from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time every weekday here on CannabisRadio.com, which is the only place you can hear this live. And one of the nice things about hearing it live is you can join our chat room. And in the live player, you'll see that it's got kind of a like a cartoon balloon sort of icon. And when you click that, that's what's going to get you to where the live chat is. A lot of people have been having trouble finding that, but that's all you got to do. Just click that. You'll get right to the live chat. And let's see. This picture should do it. Here's one. I'll get that link and we'll post that right there in the chat. And yeah, that's a photo at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo in Fort Worth. And he's got a collection of spiders up on the wall. So I'm freaking out about the spiders, but you can kind of see the back tattoo there. Last time I was there, we got the Great Lakes colored in and we added Alaska and Hawaii. But yeah, we've got to do some coloring in. We got to color in four more states because I only color in the legal states. I'm not coloring in medical. Some folks have also brought up, what if they take the legalization back? What if they make it illegal again? I don't think any place is going to make it illegal again. I think once legalization happens, it stays legal. And I just mean legal, though, at the state level, right? The feds could stop all the commerce part. That's the scary part. The feds, 404 error? All right. I don't know why. I don't know why, people. I'm trying. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll tweet this out. We'll make this happen. I'm going to make this happen, damn it. Nisha, only album. Yes. Continue to Twitter. Yes. So we're going to tweet it out on my account. We'll call it, ARG, ARGH, because I'm trying to hold the mic and type. So we go ARG, and then I'll go get that tweet for you. And then you can find it from the tweet. How's that? I always want to keep you folks happy. Let's see. Here's our tweet. And the just now there's the link and we'll copy the link and we'll put it in there. And we shall paste it. And you can find it that way. So there you go. But yeah, just follow me on Twitter, at Radical Russ. I send photos out like this all the time. Or on Instagram, at Radical Russ. Love to meet you. Love to talk to you. And got a question coming in the chat room but from Runaround talking about the worst case scenario being the DC model. And the DC model is a disaster because the vast majority of people still buy their weed from illegal dealers who are mostly poor minorities who have little to lose and be the first ones in jail. Yep, absolutely. And the DC model, for those of you who don't know, that's the grow and give model. That's where you can grow weed, you can possess weed, you can give away weed, but there's no buying and selling. And the dumb thing about this, right? The prohibitionists actually like this model. They think this is a good model. They think that the problem with marijuana is the big marijuana aspect, right? The problem with marijuana is that there's these dealers, these corporations that are trying to addict the kids. And folks, it has nothing to do with that. What they don't like about big marijuana is that it means marijuana's legit. That it's accepted, that it's a commodity like any other, that it's no longer demonized and held to a lower standard and its users thought to be scumbags. And it's an establishment of the superiority of the alcohol world. Alcohol is like the white guy of drugs, right? Alcohol has had privilege all these years, and now that the minorities want the same privileges, white guys got a problem with it, right? That's what's going on here. Beer's got a problem with having to share the stage with other legal drugs. Beer never had a problem with tobacco, though. Tobacco makes people drink more beer. But all the others, right? We don't want these other drugs competing with alcohol, because what people will find is that alcohol as a recreational substance sucks. Oh, yeah, it's fun. I mean, you can drink alcohol and go out and dance and have a good time, but you pay for it. Oh, boy, do you pay for it. You get that hangover, you puke on your shoes, and you get a little nauseous, right? In fact, that's why I think alcohol's been accepted. I think that's that alcohol's been accepted because it does punish you. Because there is an immediate payback. There is a self-limiting sort of factor to alcohol. You can only drink so much before you get puke drunk and nobody wants to be around you. So that's why I think alcohol's been accepted, because we kind of have this Puritan mindset in America. You know, we, oh my God, somebody out there might be having fun. And so long as someone's punished for that fun, then we can kind of accept it. But with the rest of them, the other drugs, if those were legal, if those were accepted, if they didn't have a stigma attached to them, a lot of people would discover that a lot of those drugs are a lot more fun and a lot less harmful in the short term or even the long term compared to alcohol. For example, you smoke weed, you can have a good old time. You wake up the next day, you don't have that hangover. You don't have that pounding headache. There are other drugs for which you get the same sort of situation where you can do those drugs and the next day feel relatively good. Now, yes, I'm not going to deny that other drugs have some long-term problems. Some of them are more highly addictive. Some of them cause heart attacks. Some of them cause death by overdose. But a lot of those problems are related to the fact that the drugs themselves are impure and we don't know the potency of them and we don't have education and social mores around them. Most of the time people are overdosing on something like heroin, it's because they got something laced with fentanyl, or they got a heroin that was more potent than the last batch that they got, or less potent than the last batch. There's no consistency. There's no customer safety. How much more stigma would there be around alcohol if we were still in the bathtub gin era, if we're still dealing with people going blind every now and then from bad distilled moonshine or whatever? So no, big alcohol, they don't want to see marijuana get on the same legal footing as alcohol. They don't want to see us have our own businesses and our own lounges and our own advertisements that are competing with their recreational substance. They want to be seen as the reason for the party. And if there's other reasons to party that don't involve alcohol, that's bad for their bottom line. But this is the direction we're going, though. This grow and give. The thing that's so maddening about it is these prohibitionists who think they're doing something right by preventing big marijuana from happening are actually exacerbating everything they hate about the illegal marijuana. Because with grow and give, and again, with the states that currently have legal marijuana commerce, those 8 states, If there is any action against those 8 states, the only action can be to end the commerce, but not to force the end of personal cultivation, personal possession, and sharing with one another. Feds can't touch that. So if we ended up with 8 grow and give states, holy crap, they don't even understand what they're doing. What they're doing is keeping the black market as it is, because as Runaround was noting in the chat room, people in D.C. are buying their weed. You know how few people want to grow weed? It's about the same percentage of people that want to brew their own beer. Yeah, you can, but it's a pain in the ass. Most people would rather just buy it from someone who does it well. So they do. But now, with Grow and Give, it's legal to grow. And how do you catch someone who's selling? Well, you got to do a sting. And so you maintain all of the same waste of time for the cops. You maintain all of that, but you lower the risk that the producer and dealer has to deal with. You actually increase the black market with a grow and give system. Now, maybe they're cynical enough to know that. Maybe they know if they attack the commercial system and revert the entire Pacific time zone, Colorado, Maine, and Massachusetts to a grow and give system, and then that turns into a huge increase in violence and black market activity and diversion out of state, then they can point to legalization itself and say, aha, see, We had the experiment. We let the states be the laboratories of democracy, and look what happened. Went all to hell. We told you so. We told you it would be awful. That's the worry, is they find a way to make legalization suck bad enough to make people want to go back to prohibition. At least that's the way I'm thinking of it. If I was on their side, that's the way I'd be trying to make this happen. I even noticed someone in the chat room was talking about the alcohol, the bars too, that if we allow marijuana in the bars, then the wrecks and the fights and the stuff that happened because of alcohol then get blamed on adding the marijuana. That was one of the arguments actually for the Denver normal social initiative rather than the one that passed, was that we ought to keep marijuana separate from alcohol for that very reason. I don't know. If marijuana and alcohol are kept separate, it doesn't affect me too much, because when I'm someplace where there's alcohol, I'll slip out back and smoke a joint. And if I'm someplace that allows marijuana inside, I probably don't want to drink. Anyway, gotta take a break. We'll come back more live from Delta 9 Studios when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Oh, Lady Marijuana Llama, tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put the big celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proved by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too. Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 22 minutes away from the top of the hour. Such bad news to report from our local cannabis community here. One of our medical marijuana physicians, Dr. Jameson, was killed today in a three-vehicle crash on Route 140 about 5:50 in the morning. Man helped a whole lot of patients get their medical marijuana cards here in this state. And the doctors that we have that are providing this service, you know, are pretty rare, pretty few and far between individuals, because despite medical marijuana being popular and legal in this state since 1998, there's still a lot of stigma for the doctors that are recommending it. They still get extra scrutiny from the medical board. They still face restrictions. There's so many doctors out there that want to recommend medical cannabis use that can't recommend medical cannabis use. They work for a clinic that has some sort of contract with the feds, or a hospital that doesn't allow it, like a Catholic hospital or one of those religious types hospitals that won't allow it. And so we end up with this the situation where, you know, of course, VA doctors can't recommend. There's so many that are restricted on this. So that when we get doctors that are brave and want to stand up and do the right thing and help people out, they're just rare. They're few and far between. And it's just a shame that we lost another one. So our condolences go out to Dr. Jameson, his friends, his family, his coworkers, everyone that's devastated now to learn that we've lost him this morning in a car crash. So sorry to have to report that news. And anyway, let's go back to some more of the marijuana news that's happening throughout this great country of ours. Oh, we did get that. We did get that story earlier on Canada and how Health Canada is going to cut back on the allotment that's allowed for veterans that are receiving medical cannabis. Now, understand that Health Canada, the whole nation has a medical marijuana program, a federal medical marijuana program. It's all by mail. And so they're reducing how much these post-traumatic stress patients can get, these veterans can get, from 10 grams to 3 grams. I think it was a day. Yeah, something like that. Citing cost overruns and citing that these vets might be being over-recommended or over-prescribed medical cannabis. And to me, it's kind of odd that we have to talk about cost overruns when we're talking about a weed, about an herb that ought to be ubiquitous. Any of these cost overruns, any of this price that's associated with cannabis is mostly attributable to it being prohibited. It's that prohibition tax that we have to pay. It's that tariff that we all have to go through just because it's illegal. And, you know, it always bothers me when a bureaucrat wants to set a limit on medicine or doctors or what they might prescribe for someone. And I guess there is some exceptions in this Health Canada policy for people that are using more. But still, I like to have as few restrictions on the doctor-patient relationship as possible. I really think that there's a reason why we have these physicians go to school, medical school, for years and years and years to become experts in this, and that we ought to trust them on medical decisions over some guy who got elected to the state house. So, this Canada thing. It's just like when they put limits in medical marijuana laws, right? They say, oh, well, yeah, patient can have 6 plants and 3 ounces. Why? Why is there a limit on how much marijuana a medical marijuana patient should have? It's not toxic, right? They're not going to overdose on the stuff. It's self-titrating. They're only going to use as much as they need to get the relief they need. Why the limit? Well, we know why there's a limit. It's because marijuana is still illegal. It's because we got to stop the patient from stockpiling a whole bunch of weed and then selling it to other people, which is also a weird thing, right? This is something in the medical marijuana thing that's been in Oregon for a long time, is patients and caregivers growing weed and then selling some of that weed. Now, it used to be just black market, right? Patient grows 6 plants, harvest, 3 pounds, sell 2 pounds on the black market, keep a pound for themselves. But then it became more legit with our dispensary bill where caregivers and growers and patients could actually sell their medicine to the dispensary for further sales. This ought to be something we're encouraging. These patients, these sick, disabled people getting medical marijuana are often some of the poorest people out there. They can't work. They're disabled. So wouldn't it be neat if they were getting extra income by selling weed to healthy people? Right? There's just so many opportunities in the growing cannabis field for us to have money-making opportunities for the people who have least had them. But a lot of the green rush just seems to be going to the same rich old white guys that weren't having any problems with money in the first place. Some of this is overt through the way we pass these laws that say, well, if you've had a drug felony, you can't get a license to sell drugs. So basically what? We're taking all the people who were selling drugs and got caught and saying now they can't sell drugs legally. Wouldn't we want the people who got caught, who got roped into a life of crime, who now have a criminal record and have a more difficult time getting legit work that then leads them to want to commit more crimes to survive? Wouldn't we want to take those people and make them legal sellers? Take what they're doing now and put them in a legal arena where we can get taxes off them and cover them with regulations? No, we make these laws that say, nope, you're a drug felon, you can't get a legal license. That's just insane. It also sets up this weird double standard where, like, if you were dealing weed on the black market and didn't get caught, well, hell, you can apply. So it's almost like a reward system for having beaten the man. Congratulations, you never got caught. Here's a license. No, man, let's get the people who have the experience. Likely the ones that got caught were the ones that doing the most and most often and the most amount. Let's get them jobs. Let's get them taxed. Let's get them regulated. Let's get them in the system. Then we've got to deal with the other thing we have to deal with, the drug testing. There's another thing that's got to get examined here in this newly legal world. Discriminating against people in hiring them because they do something that's legal. Now, I get response on this sometimes. I get people that'll talk to me and say, well, Russ, there are places that won't hire you now if you're a tobacco smoker. And yeah, that's often predicated on them having an insurance policy. And if they have nobody at their work that's a smoker, they get reductions in their health insurance because smokers tend to die. They get cancer and stuff and emphysema, and it costs the company money in their insurance premiums. So I disagree with it. I don't think we ought to discriminate against people based on what they do to themselves. But at least if you are going to discriminate, there's some logic there. At least there's, okay, I see the money aspect in that. You can't show that to me for marijuana. In fact, we're starting to get figures in that show marijuana is actually beneficial to the workplace in less employee absenteeism, less employee healthcare costs, and extending the time that seniors can stay on the job. It's actually beneficial for productivity. Now, I've been saying that for years. I've been saying, wow, I'll tell you, once the business world figures out that people can do repetitive, boring-ass, rote type of work better when they're slightly high, that's when business will switch around to it. Notice that there's not a whole lot of drug testing in the information technology industry. Notice that you got guys that write code that are often known to have done psychedelics, right? There have been breakthroughs that have happened in coding, in software, that were facilitated by mushrooms and LSD. Ideas that people came up with, breakthroughs that people came up with that were inspired thanks to opening their minds to the extra possibilities that, you know, that mushrooms and LSD can bring to you. So this idea that there's going to be some sort of drug-free workplace, as if there's ever been a drug-free workplace, is another aspect of our society that we're going to have to keep tackling here in this post-legalization era. We cannot have a situation where 1 out of 5 people in America are subject to a type of discrimination that 4 out of 5 Americans don't face. And that is being prejudged by their use of a legal substance. And the double standard with alcohol is the part that bothers me the most. Because anything these people say, anything these opponents, these prohibitionists, these pot haters, anything they say negative about pot or scaremongering about what pot will do is immediately vanquished if you substitute the word alcohol for pot, booze for pot, whatever you want to do. Whatever they propose, say, hey, that's an interesting idea. So you're saying that we ought to mandate that alcohol can only be 40% proof? 40 proof, that ought to be the limit, right? 40 proof alcohol ought to be the limit. No. I was talking about THC, you know, in the edibles. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you were saying that the THC ought to be limited to 15% in a flower, right? So, okay, let's limit alcohol to 40 proof.
Well, it's not the same and blah, 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 blah.
No, it's the same. You're trying to argue here that the potency of a product ought to be limited for the consumer's own good. So let's make a limit for alcohol at 40 proof. Now, some states have a limit at 100 proof. Some of them, like, you know, back in my home state of Idaho, you could get Everclear, 190 proof alcohol, right? So some states have limits already. Some of them don't. But when they're talking like a 15% limit on THC in a bud, they were trying this in Colorado a while back. It failed, but they were trying this. A 15% bud is a mid-grade at best at this point. So that would be about like 40 proof alcohol, wouldn't it? Crazy stuff here. Whenever they propose something crazy for marijuana, just substitute alcohol in that and ask the question back to them. Now, that does catch us when it comes to the breathalyzer. you got to admit that part. All right, we're going to take a break here, and we'll wrap things up live from Delta 9 Studios here in beautiful Southeast Potland, Oregon. Love this new area. Walking distance to just about everything I need. And pot shops, too, of course. Yep, pot shop, dry cleaner. Taco Bell. All right, I don't really need Taco Bell. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Thanks for joining us. And if you feel like it, call 650-LEGAL-MJ. Leave us a message.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Mindful of sustainable practices and limiting their environmental footprint, Sansal Hemp is always grown outdoors, as nature intended. By starting with uniform genetic profiles, Sansal ensures the plant will maintain its optimal performance and yield consistently throughout its life cycle. It is through innovative processes that Sansal is able to achieve pure whole hemp extracts and meet industry requirements and the level of quality desired by many of their customers. Healthy plants, healthy people. SansalCBD.com. Improve your lifestyle naturally.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Just about 5 minutes to the top of the hour as we close things up here. at Delta 9 Studios for the day. A reminder that we're in our holiday schedule, so we'll have a live show tomorrow, but Thursday and Friday, no live shows, as it will be Thanksgiving Day and the day after Thanksgiving. So I will be unpacking stuff here at the new house. I have boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff to unpack. Oh, my God. Then coming up next week is Portland Weed Week, the 28th through the 4th. And I believe I will be emceeing on Thursday and Friday at a couple events there for Portland Weed Week. So we might next week also only be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then following that, in the first 2 weeks of December, I'm completely gone, completely off. I will be down in Jamaica taking my first vacation in over a decade for sure. I travel a lot, but I never vacation, right? I'm always working wherever I travel. So this will be pretty exciting for me. Then I'll be back on the 19th and we'll do 2 weeks of shows there to wind up 2016. Now, got a comment in the chat room about my 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers and how much they suck yesterday. Oh, my God. We're down to, like, what, the fourth string secondary now? Made Kirk Cousins from the Washington racial slurs look like an MVP quarterback. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's not looking good for the Pack. They're 4-6 this year. Not looking good. I'm trying to concentrate this year more on my beloved Boise State Broncos, who got Houston moved ahead of them in the group of five, moved ahead of them in the polls, despite having two losses to Boise State's one. And, of course, Western Michigan has still not lost a game. They're still the only undefeated team other than Herb Thrasher's Alabama Crimson Tide. So that's our football update. I'm not happy with the Pack. But I don't think they'll make the playoffs this year. We'll see. Usually you got to be 10-6 in the NFC to make the playoffs, and 9-7 is a risk. So they ain't got many more games they can lose. As far as the Broncos go, they might not even make their Mountain West playoffs thanks to some more shenanigans from Wyoming messing up our world. Anyway. That's football. That's the only other non-marijuana thing I'm up to. And so I'll be watching some football tomorrow as well. The regular Thanksgiving, or Thursday, I should say, regular Thanksgiving games coming up. Looking forward to that. Also looking forward to some events coming up next year. I'll be at the Idaho Hemp Fest again. That'll be on April 15th. I'll also be in Berlin, Germany. I believe it's April 12th and 13th. So I'll be flying from Germany to Boise. That'll be fun. That'll be some layovers. oh, I also have a one-day layover in Dallas on December 4th on my way out to Jamaica. So I'm going to visit with my tattoo artist, and we'll get the rest of the map filled in. Thanks for the compliment on Twitter. Somebody complimented me on the tattoo saying, looks like you've been working out. Yeah, a little bit. Little bit. Worked out just a little bit. But it's mostly just not eating everything in my view. That's right. The real workout starts in the kitchen, folks. And that's about all the time we got for today's show. I want to thank all of you regular listeners for joining us and all the new ones that I've seen pop up in the chat room these past couple of days. We are live here usually every Monday through Friday, except for when I'm traveling or have holidays. I take off all of the federal holidays. But this is show number 867. And we are barreling on towards show 1,000. I got to do the calculations. That might be close to 420 next year. I'll have to find out. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Check out CannabisRadio.com for more great podcasts from the best in the marijuana industry and activism. Hemp Present with Vivian McPeak, Burning Issues with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, The Grow Show with Cal Cushman, Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. There's all that and more. NCIA has a show now. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.